Amen. It sure is good to see this number out tonight, and just been real excited about getting back to church. And I don't know, it just seems like for me, hopefully for you too, it just seems like even Wednesday nights keep getting sweeter, and just enjoying being together and being with our church family, and just real excited about all that's going on. I know it's a busy time that we're facing right now. We're getting ready for move-in, getting carts out and all that kind of stuff on campus, and then move-in starts out next week, starts out bright and early Monday morning, so next week is going to be something else, I can already tell. And I think we're looking at a few more than what we had last year, so a lot of folks coming in, but that's a good thing. I know it kind of maybe on the traffic side of things and what have you kind of works on us a little bit, but at the same time, thankful to still be a part of Collegians, and I just absolutely desire your prayers there. And probably going to be some opportunities to help throughout the semester, and just different things to look at. We're going to meet on Saturday and kind of talk through some things there, so definitely desire your prayers. And again, I appreciate those who've been helping. I tell you, Sister Julie and Sister Carrie's done a whole lot of work, and maybe some others just getting all this stuff together, and Brandy and just different ones, and getting all these last-minute orders in and things, but it's coming together, and we're going to trust the Lord with it. But if you will, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll go ahead and get started tonight. I hope you've had a good week so far. I hope today wasn't too hard on you. I see a couple of yawns out there, but I could probably yawn myself, to be honest with you, but I'm trying to hide it, you know. I tell you, it's good to be here. I'm glad you made it a priority to be here tonight. I woke up, I don't know, 1:30 this morning, and had the word priority on my heart, and I was just about going to preach on that tonight, but the Lord kind of changed things on it and just went a different direction. But I keep thinking about our priorities and making sure we keep those in line, because you really kind of migrate to what you want to do, whether that's of the Lord or not. That becomes your priority if you're not careful. It can pull you away. I think a lot of times that could be by way of career or hobbies or different things like that. I think the priority tonight was mowing. That's the one thing I've seen tonight. I don't mind. Everybody was mowing tonight, you know. And Brady said, it must be Worker Man Wednesday. I said, I guess so. I said, everybody's out mowing tonight. You know, and I was like, my goodness, I wish, and you know, you can be critical, and I'm not trying to be, but I was like, I wish people were that adamant about being in the Lord's house tonight. But I guess thinking about the rain and how that's been, you got to get it in while you can and all that good stuff. But you'll never be sorry for making God your number one priority. You'll never be sorry in doing that. You'll be sorry if you hadn't. Different parts in life, you'll be sorry you hadn't. But not talking about priority tonight, but talking about something else, or wanting to preach on something else that is very important. And I guess I've preached along these lines before. And when you look at Proverbs chapter number 3, a lot of times I think you kind of go ahead and fall down to 5, 6, 7 on down in there. But I want to look at the first four verses tonight in thinking about the topic of favor. Favor. More specifically, pray for favor. You know, when you're working with people and dealing with people, if you do not have favor with them, it's usually a lot harder. Whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, or whatever it is you're trying to do, if you don't have favor with that person, it can be a lot harder to work with or deal with. If a person doesn't have favor with you, you don't make them a priority. You might not make them a priority and say, well, you're just not up high on my list, and I'm not going to really worry about what you think so much. I'll go to somebody else that maybe I'm closer to, or have more favor with, or has more favor with me. But tonight, this is interesting here, because these scriptures talk about favor in two different ways. Favor with God and also favor with man. So it's kind of a two-way street. You know, that's something that has been on my heart now for the past few months. It's interesting sometimes how God puts things on your mind, maybe, or on your heart. And I've just been trying to pray for favor. When you're trying to witness to people, or you're trying to work with people, it seems like it goes much, much better if you have favor with them. And you look at the definition of the word favor, it means kind regard, it means kindness, it means support, it means defense, It means goodwill, a gift. It also means an advantage. And in looking at it like that, I tell you, that's some attributes, some things that I want to have with God. First and foremost, I'd love to have those things and want to have those things with God. Who wouldn't? And then also, I'd like to have those things with my fellow brothers and sisters and mankind in general. There's about 70 times you'll find it in the King James Bible, and 70 is the number of completeness. And you look at all those things: kind regard, support, defense, goodwill, gift, advantage. That's some things that you would want to have. Maybe not even in your presence. If somebody was had those things or had those feelings towards you, that is something that you would want to have. And then we'll actually kind of look at the first mention of that here in just a minute. But I think it'd be good for us just to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. Father, we just thank you so much again for this day. God, thank you so much for just even the weather cooling off just a little bit and just being able to get out and work and just do some things, God. We just thank you for that. And Lord, just don't want to take anything for granted. And God, tonight, just come to you, Lord, just asking and praying for favor, God, just in working with everyone, God, here at the church, Lord, also with the students coming in and wanting to work with them, God, and in a different way, Lord, we just pray and we ask for favor, God, that we could reach out to them and be a blessing and a help to them, God, and Lord, that they would hear what's being said, hear what's being taught, God, and know that it's for their betterment to help them. And God, we just pray for all of us here tonight at the church, God, that we would have favor with you, Lord, that you would grant us that favor. And God, help us. Help us to see tonight how we can gain that favor based off your word. Lord, you just give us so many things to look at, so many things to consider and study. And God, I just thank you for that. Lord, help us tonight. Help our hearts and help our minds to focus on what you'd have us to. And help us, God, to gain from this tonight. What we need most. And Lord, we pray for those that are lost around about us. God, we have them on our heart. We pray for your convicting power upon them. And Lord, just ask that you be with them. Be with our church. Be with all those, Lord, in need and the many, many objects of prayer that we have, Lord. Be with those, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, interestingly enough, and it's not even just by the word favor itself, but the concept of favor. I was looking that up, and the first mention of that actually comes to us in Genesis chapter number 6. It's talking about Noah. And you look back on Noah and what he was doing, and you think about, well, how did he have favor with God? It's primarily talking about favor with God himself. If you notice and you think back to that account, Noah really didn't have favor with man. I don't know how much that they were actually just trying to fight him so much, but they weren't listening to him. If you don't have favor with somebody, they're just not going to listen to you for whatever reason it is. Sometimes it's a personality conflict or something like that. Maybe it's a doctrinal difference or something like that. And just many different things can cause some kind of separation. But what we see here in Genesis chapter number 6, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I've made man." Repented, that means God had a change of heart. He had a change of mind. Man was so evil that God regretted that he'd even made us. That's something. That's what you call peopling, dealing with people. I tell you, it can be hard like that. But now what is interesting about this, and all the people in the whole world, I don't know how many people were here at that time, maybe not as many as what we have today at this time, but you know, I'm sure there's plenty here on the earth at that time, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So there's something different about Noah. You say, well, how did he find grace? I mean, was he following God's word? The Bible wasn't written then, so you think about it like that. God has his concept of how he wants things to be, and it's timeless. I thank God that we live in this age where we have the word of God, that we can study it and we can see it. You think back to the Old Testament, God spoke to people in visions, and he would audibly sometimes maybe speak to them. The Lord would come to them. It's just a different way of dealing with people. But the fact remains, they still had the choice of either taking him at his word or not. And see, Noah, out of all of these people, Noah was the one that he took God at his word. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I find that very interesting because you and I can do the same thing today. When the Lord tells us to do something, instead of all these questions and all these things of trying to figure things out, if we just start the journey alongside of him, he's going to take care of the details. He's going to take care of things. One of the most frustrating things that that I've encountered before when you're trying to teach somebody how to do something is like, if you'll let me show you, let me walk you through it. I'm the type of person, I learned that same way. You could tell me probably 15 times how to change something or do something, fix something, but I'm the type that after you tell me 15 times, I'm just going to still say the same thing. Okay, now show me. Show me. And see, I believe that's kind of how it is in dealing with the Lord. When the Lord says, all right, Jason, come along. It's time to do this now. I don't need to stop and ask questions about how to do all these things. He's just saying, just come alongside me and I'll show you along the way. See, that's how the Lord is. That's how he deals with people. That's how he'll deal with us if we will let him. Now, he does give us his instruction manual, the toolkit. I like to use that as an example. This is absolutely a toolkit if we're willing to follow it. But God wants us to learn by example, by using these tools, not just having them on our tool belt and we're not using them. He wants us to use them, and that's how he shows us. He gives us all kinds of situations that we face. And I think about this situation here. Think about preaching to people, talking to people, and feeling like you're either being misunderstood or just not even being heard at all. That's probably very frustrating. It can be very frustrating. It's hard, especially when what you have to tell somebody is very important and it will absolutely help them. And then you see maybe sometimes people flounder, and I've been one of those people before because I wasn't listening and I wasn't applying. How frustrating it is. Just do it like this, do it this way. I don't want to do it that way. I'm just kind of do what I want to. Well, then you're probably going to flounder. The Lord wants to take us and show us and teach us things. Now, that's what's interesting about with Noah. I'm not saying it was an easy thing for him to do, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because when he told him to start building the ark because it was going to start raining, that's what Noah did. He took out his tool belt. He took out his tools and he started doing what the Lord told him to do. It's a very simple concept. It's very, very simple, but that's what he asks from you and me every single day. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Don't worry about all the whys and all these things, but you know, and what's rained, by the way? You know, it hadn't even rained yet. So there's all kinds of question marks with people. You know, that sounds far-fetched, but sometimes that thing that God is asking you to do, if it seems very far-fetched, I believe you're going to see a big blessing on the end, on the other side, if you're willing to follow him through and follow through with him and do what he'd have you to do. And I've thought about this many times and maybe used it here and even talked with my family about it. But, you know, I think about Noah a lot. You know, I think sometimes we think about numbers a whole lot. You think about maybe throughout a person's time in ministry, you know, maybe we don't number it or anything like that. But you think, you hear about many people being saved. You know, this revival, you hear X amount of number of people being saved. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. But now you think about Noah. He preached, what, 120 years? And how many people accepted what he had to say? It came all the way down that it was only eight people. But it turned out those eight people, that was his family. Do you think Noah, Brother Dale, would say that was worth it? You know, I got to think about it like this. What if I preached my entire time that the Lord gave me, and only my family during that time accepted the Lord? Would it be worth it? Praise the Lord, it'd be worth it. I wish there could be more. But you see, that's the thing. And so you look at it that way, you say, well, what is it? You know, that's just kind of the choice of what it is. But when you look at favor, I think it's very important that you and I as Christians should desire to have that with people. Not to get maybe what you'd say an unfair advantage, but what you have to share with somebody is that important. And you can tell if somebody's listening to you or not, or taking into account what you're saying. Unfortunately, during this situation, the people at that time was not listening to Noah. But here's a few things tonight on how we can gain this, how we can gain this favor. We can not only just with man, but with God too. It kind of puts us in the middle. And it says here, Proverbs 3:1, it says, my son, forget not my law, But let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good standing in the sight of God and man. So again, you look at what this means here. Favor, kind regard, kindness, support, defense, goodwill, a gift. You have an advantage. Who would not want to have an advantage when you're needing to pray about something? Who wouldn't want to have an advantage with God? You know, I know why. It's in the Word of God. It says that God is not a respecter of persons. And I believe that. I mean, it's in there. Brother Finley, it's in there. That's why it's in there. But at the same time, the more that you want to take part with what He has for you, I believe the more willing He is to give it to you. If you're not really going to show an interest, that's kind of on you. You know, that's on me. If I'm not interested in the things of God, then that's on me. But I believe as God looks down at His children and He sees children and says, hey, I want a deeper relationship with you. You know what I think He does? He's like, all right, I'll give it to you. That's how you have favor with Him. It wouldn't be in the Bible if you couldn't have it. And who wouldn't want to have favor with God? You think about everything in this day and time that you face and you deal with and all these things. But I tell you, pray for favor. When it comes time to go to the Lord in prayer, I want favor. I don't want it to be a situation like, is He going to listen? Is He going to hear me or not? Am I even in a condition to pray? I don't want it to be like that. You say, well, how do I get in this condition that I can have favor not only with God but with man also? Because, you know, there's a lot of enmity there when you look at it that way. But I thank God that you could do this. I think this is how you win souls to the Lord. I think this is how people's lives are changed. When you take direct command or you take direct instruction from God and then you can in turn give it to somebody else, I believe that's exactly what you and I are supposed to do. But it takes favor to do that. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little bit of this. So don't ever get in trouble with the law. Don't use this against the law, okay? But again, in interview interrogation, one of the things that they really teach us and what they taught us was how to gain rapport with people. I mean, if you don't really have rapport with people, they're not going to want to talk to you. You know, if you got somebody that broke the law and they're already kind of got that wall up and they're not really wanting to tell you because you're the person that's trying to either write them a citation or put them in jail, why would they want to tell you anything? You're the bad guy. You're against them. You know, and so why should they tell you anything? And what does it say? You get more flies with honey than you do vinegar. There's a lot of truth to that. There's a whole lot of truth to that. But when you're trying to reach people for the Lord, it's a lot like that too. You don't know the background and the history that these people have, and sometimes it's none at all. So you're starting from scratch. Then you've got some who had, and I hear this a lot, church. I want you to know this. I hear this a lot on campus. I talk to students. You go to church? Well, I used to. I just don't do that anymore. That's not my thing. It's like they had bad church relationships or bad church happenings and what have you, and then they just quit going. They fell out of favor. Something happened somewhere. I'm not saying that the church was at fault. I don't know every situation, but I hear that all the time. I used to go, but I don't go anymore. And they're almost, in a weird way, defiant when they say it. It's like, I've done that, and I don't believe in that. I don't buy that. Boy, that's sad. You know, I think that's something that when you get to college, you shouldn't lose that. You should be able to keep that and take that with you. The Word of God, your relationship with God, is something that you never want to lose at any point in your life. You don't want to lose that favor, that special relationship. Well, how do you keep it? How do you keep it? So this is written, I believe, by Solomon. You look at the book of Proverbs, I believe most of it, a good portion of it was written by Solomon. And if you wanted to listen to a man, first and foremost, listen to God. But if you wanted to listen to a man, would you not want to listen to the wisest man that ever lived? It's probably second best, right? If you look at it that way. Solomon, he asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom instead of money and riches. And God gave him both because he wanted to be a good leader. He wanted to lead people. He wanted to help people and be a good king for Israel. And so he's saying, my son, he's talking to his son. Solomon's trying to pass these things down to his son. And I tell you, that's the most important thing. Parents, what we can pass down to our kids, the example that we set, the taking of time to be the one to teach them and show them instead of maybe trying to hope somebody else does, it's our responsibility. And see, that's what he's doing here. Solomon's saying, forget not my law. He didn't say God's law. And I thought that was interesting because I read this a few times. I'm like, who's doing the talking here? Is God doing the talking here? Who's doing the talking? Is it the Lord? But it's Solomon, I believe. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You see what he's saying here? Solomon is identifying with his God and what he believes. He is saying that God's commandments are his commandments. God's law is his law, and he's taking ownership of that. You see, if you can't buy something, how are you going to sell it to somebody else? And I tell you, it is so good when you can see somebody speak affirmatively about the Word of God to anybody. Not in hypothesis, not in I hopes or anything like that. But when you have somebody that will tell the Word of God or stand on the Word of God and tell it plain, that's somebody you can get behind. That's important. I believe that's a big part of gaining favor with somebody. If you don't know the truth, how are you going to sell it to somebody? How are you going to tell somebody? How are they going to believe it? But there's some benefits to this. When you look at the Word of God, we're not supposed to necessarily, what I would say, is just do things to get things. And I think the number one thing that came to my mind as an example of that is tithing. When you talk about money, and you think things, talk about it like that. Sometimes I think people get locked in their head saying, if you want money, do this and God will give you money. And so people give sometimes just waiting to see if God's going to give them more money back. See, I got money back. It's not the lottery. It's not gambling. It doesn't work like that. That's not how it is. When God gives a commandment, you're supposed to do it regardless of what you get back. It's a commandment. God's saying, do this. But I want you to know, when you do what God tells you to do, there's a lot of benefit to that. God will always honor his word. Always, always. So when God says something in his word, go ahead and mark it down. If I do it, I will reap the benefits or I'll pay the consequences. That's just how it is. And I tell you, you got to try it. This is the application part of the message. A person can tell you things and get you excited about things, but until you do it, it will never be real to you. But you see the blessings of God. I believe here too, it's not about, you know, gaining wealth and all these different kind of things, but I promise you, God will take care of you. If you do it his way, he'll take care of you. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, if you keep my law, if you let thine heart keep my commandments, you obey and do what God says, you're obedient to him, that catches his attention. It's like you're the good child and you start gaining favor. That's what he's saying here. It's what the Word of God's saying. You're being obedient. You're gaining favor. Some of the things that you can reap from this is length of days. It will lengthen your days, being obedient. You say, well, I know people who have passed away at a very young age. You know what? Church, I don't have all the answers. If that person is saved, they're reaping the benefits. I don't have all the answers for things like that. I don't know why some people live this long or some people live that long, but the Bible tells me that you can lengthen your days, and I believe you can shorten your days through disobedience. I believe that. God works on a reward system. You see it all throughout the Bible. You see it all throughout his word that if you do this, then you can expect this to happen, whether it be punishment or whether it be reward. Length of days and long life. And peace shall be added to thee or add to thee. And you look at it and you think about, if I'm doing what the Word of God says, there's some peace there. When Jason went out and just did and does or what have you, I'm not perfect. When Jason goes out and does what he wants to do, sometimes there's chastisement that comes along with that. That's not peaceful. What Solomon is telling his son here, if you'll do these things, you can avoid some heartaches and some trouble. You can avoid it. You know, and I think sometimes there's this rebellious streak and this sowing wild oaks streak in people, especially young people. I guess have a lot of young people on my mind right now thinking about what it's like, everybody coming back, probably the first time being away from home. You see all these people moving into these apartments and all this kind of stuff. And I've seen what they look like on the front end. Well, you have everything all cleaned up and nice and ready to go. And then I remember answering calls at the police department. You go in there and you have to wade through clothes in some places, wade through liquor bottles, the smell of marijuana. I'm like, man, my goodness, what a mess. You can kind of see and tell, like, this is probably these people first time getting away from mom and dad. And of course, there's many different kind of relationships and circumstances there, but you can tell some people just go wild. And they're looking for trouble, begging for trouble. Seen it so many times. And had those people, maybe if they had been presented the word of God, accepted God, and actually been obedient to it, they could have sidestepped a lot of trouble. Whole lot of trouble. So it's kind of common sense when you look at it that way. If you do what the Lord asks you to do, there'll be more peace in your life. Does that mean it's just going to be peaceful and perfect and things are never going to happen? No. Things are going to happen. But here, let me tell you this, when bad things happen in life, would you rather not be on the good side of God and have his favor versus kind of out there by yourself knowing that, hey, I deserve this because I'm running buck wild. This is all on me. It's my fault. But I tell you, when things happen out of our control in life and you have favor with God, he's there to help you and you can feel it and you can know it. And I appreciate that. I believe that's what Solomon is saying here. Solomon, he went through a lot. He experienced a lot of things. I want you to know he wasn't perfect. He may have been the wisest man on earth that ever lived, but he was not a perfect man. He got in a lot of mess and different things at different parts in his life, but he was wise. But here's the thing about wisdom. Wisdom only works while you apply it. When you stop applying it, it stops working. So you could be the wisest man and turn around and do the dumbest thing, you're going to reap the consequence of that. That's just how it happens. That's how that works. Wisdom works as long as you're applying it. And that's what he's teaching and saying here. And he's saying also, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. He's saying here, don't do away with mercy. Don't do away with truth. And I think it's interesting that we see the word mercy. Mercy simply means that you're treating somebody better than what they deserve. You know, and it's easy, I think, to get callous in this day and time, calloused, impatient with people. But I'm so thankful that God is patient. I'm thankful he's patient with me. I can look back on my life, Brother Bill, and say, my goodness, he's been patient with me on things that I didn't deserve any patience. I didn't deserve any mercy. I deserved a chastisement. I deserved getting in trouble. But he had patience and he was merciful with me. And he's saying, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't ever leave it. Never not be merciful to somebody. Treat people the way that you're supposed to treat them. Be good to them. That's what people need. They need help. And that's why you see mercy come right alongside here with truth. The truth of the word, I believe, is what that's talking about. Being truthful and giving people what they need. Not telling them what they want to hear, but telling them the truth. And I'll say this. Got several young people here tonight. I want you to know this, young people. There's times that your friends probably, I would say 95% of the time probably, your friends will listen to you more than they'll listen to mom and dad. If you know the truth and you're willing to share the truth with them, you can be a greater influence on them probably than mom or dad at that point in life. Now, when you get older and you start having kids, you realize mom and dad is the best friends probably you ever had. And you start realizing and understanding why they did things the way they did, and you start putting things together that way. But this time of life, as young people, this time of life, being a peer is a very important thing. And you can reach your peers probably better than anybody else if you're brave enough and obedient enough to do it and follow what God is saying. Remember, Solomon is telling his son these things. He's saying, if you can do this now at a young age, my goodness, you can bypass a lot of trouble if you'll go ahead and start doing these things now. And then he goes on to say here again, write them upon the table of thine heart, keep it close, around thy neck, around thine heart, keep it right here ready, always in the forefront is what he's saying, mercy and truth. And I'm going to close with this here. Now verse number 4 kind of wraps it all together. If you do these things, if you're honest with people, you have your heart in the right place, you're merciful to people, they see that you adhere, you listen to God's word, They not only hear you say it, but they see you live it. You put these things together, you become like a conduit. You become like a two-way situation here. You have God on one side and you have man on the other side, but you can actually be a benefit. And that's what a child of God is supposed to be. And it says, if you do these things here, it says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. God looks down. He sees that you're being obedient. He sees that you're following his will and doing what he would have you to do. And in turn, you know, when man is looking at you, they see the same thing. They see that it becomes real. And if you have favor with God, and then you in turn have favor with man, then you can actually try and make a difference in somebody's life. And I can't tell you, that's the most important thing that you and I can do. Again, thinking about priority, you touched on that a little bit. If that is your priority versus being caught up in what you think is most important, whether it be career or hobby, money, whatever it is, and if that's your goal, then you're missing out completely on all this. You're not even in the same ballpark. But you think about it now, the importance of favor as a Christian witness. You're going to have a hard time trying to witness to somebody if you don't have favor with God. And you can just about forget it if you don't have favor with the person that you're talking to. If you haven't gained some kind of rapport, some kind of common ground, you're going to have a very hard time trying to lead somebody to the Lord. And thinking about favor with God, I believe that means having a purpose, having a priority, especially when you go to pray. I think about it like that. It's for me in my life, I just look at things. It seems like if I am focused on him more, if I'm concentrating on him more with an open heart, an open mind, and just really just fixate, Lord, what do you want? It just seems like my prayer time's a lot sweeter. Seems like it's a lot more special. I feel like there's some favor that's there. I can tell a difference. And you definitely want to have priority when you pray and when you're reaching out to God. And then again, favor with man. What's that mean? It's completely different. You know, we say it like this. You say it like this a lot, hear it like this a lot in church. Boy, the Spirit was good today. I could feel the Spirit today. Boy, I had good liberty today. That's favor. Did you know that? That's exactly what that is. That's when God is putting his blessing upon something and the people can see it and everything comes together. That's what the Lord wants. That's what he wants you and I to have when you put it all together. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and in the sight of man. And I was going to read this last verse, and I'm closing right now, but Proverbs 16:17. I thought this is interesting. Or 16:7, that is. And if you don't have this circled in your Bible, you might want to. You probably heard this before, but it's a good verse. They're all good verses, by the way. But this is something for you to think about. I don't know anybody that don't butt heads with somebody at some point in time. I think we had a fella come here and preach one time and said he'd never argued with his wife. And I'm like, how in the world? How do you see everything eye to eye all the time? But this right here, verse number 7, Proverbs 16:7, it said, when a man's way pleases the Lord. I believe this goes right along with what we're talking about, favor. When a person is following God's plan for their life, seeking his will first, seeking you first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added. I believe this is what is taking place. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a powerful thing right there that I believe only God can do. When we talk about this and said this before, God has the power to change hearts and work on people's hearts. Where you and I are limited in things, he can actually come alongside and, you know, he can work on the heart of the other person because he knows the intent. And you and I don't. I'm going to stop right there tonight, but I'll ask, does anybody have anything they'd like to add to that tonight?